a wonder of devotion. I see the torch we all must hold. This is a mystery of the quotient, quotient.
Forces will come to your aid.
To turn that potentiality into reality.
And I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact. It's non-negotiable.
You got to be a spirit, and the spirit will not descend without song. You got to sing or be no ghost.
Every present minute is another chance to turn it all around.
Live every second. Live right up the hill.
Great success story.
It's a valuable future. Believe it. Don't destroy it. Protect it. It's gonna make you proud one day. I promise you.
Don't let them anesthetize you. Don't let them numb you out to the miracle of life.
I want you to get swept away. I want you to levitate. I want you to sing with rapture and dance like a dervish.
Carpe diem. Seize the day.
Forces will come to your aid.
Of your true self and dive headlong into the messy, beautiful, sensual fray of life and help start a revolution.
Well, he doesn't have to, Bob. I mean, he's making a choice to gain something.
Like what?
His freedom, I guess.
Still, it seems like an awful lot to give up.
Well, sometimes, Bob, you gotta chew your leg off to get out of life's traps.
And you're listening to Shift Happens, the
and
spoken
Jeff is
word.
Chewing off his leg. trying to get out of the room.
We just keep bringing in more reinforcements.
There are now 5 people in the booth.
We so can fit in a couple more.
I must say I'm a little scared shiftless, if you know what I mean.
As long as you're not shifty.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh. Don't be shifty. Don't be shifty, Jeff.
Yeah, if you're going to talk on the mic, talk into the mic. Not that I want you to talk on the mic. It depends on what you're going to say. Anyway.
Let go of control, Jeff.
All right. Well, I'm controlling the board, and I've got control over the mute buttons. So anyway, it's going to be another weird show, but, hey, we're known for being weird and in a good way. Anyway, my name is Jeff.
And I'm Anna.
I'm Chris.
I'm Sherry.
And I'm Tash.
We have 5 of us in the booth today.
Yeah, it's really hot and steamy in here. And already full of hot air, so.
Take off your jacket.
Ah, there you go.
Get comfortable.
Yeah, right.
Get
yeah.
ready.
For what you're about to receive. Send this spider to the fly.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to give over control, so say whatever you want. I'm just going to sit here and say nothing.
The look on your face, so everyone could see that. It's a deer in the headlights look.
Yeah.
So we should preface it a little bit. We did a show a few weeks back called Do You Need to Be Loved or Love to Be Needed?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the ways in which our childhood wounds set up behavioral issues that we carry forward unconsciously, create problems in our relationships, often create codependencies, and what we can do about that. And we kind of got halfway through the process and decided we needed to do another show.
Oh, is that the show that we're doing today? I thought we were doing something else.
I just wanted to play music.
Of course you did.
So Jeff kind of volunteered.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they call Shanghai?
Yeah, that's more like it.
This isn't an ambush. He actually volunteered.
Really, he did volunteer.
Yeah.
So they say.
He doesn't look like a volunteer.
No, he looks
I did a constellation with Sherry and a bunch of other people a few months back, and part of the process is you're asked, what are you expecting? What are your wishes from this process?
What is your intention for resolution, Jeff?
All right, well, it's good that she's here. So anyway, I said that I wanted to integrate my God self with my humanity, my spiritual side with my human side. And be careful what you wish for, because shift does happen. All kinds of stuff. And so it's been a bit of a roller coaster, but in a good way. Sometimes not comfortable, but real change is not always comfortable. Just like I'm not comfortable right now, because I have no idea what is going to happen. And all of you guys are, well, you're listening in your vehicles and in your homes. And so I'm feeling a little bit.
You might want to pull over.
Yeah. What, me? Yeah, I'm already pulled over. I'm sitting down. I wish I had a glass of scotch in my hand, but no, just kidding.
Seatbelt fastened.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get her done.
What is your intention for resolution today, Jeff?
Same thing. I'm having difficulty. There is this side of myself that's been there since I can remember, when I was a child. The desire, the connection with the unknown, if you will. And it was beyond religion, beyond church, beyond all of the structures that are created.
Beyond dogma.
Yes. So I had that at a very, very early age. And I went to school, I went to college ultimately to study further, but I found that it was more of a struggle, because I found that spirituality, that real connection, was never there. And even when I went to college abroad, it was only just like when I was a kid. It's when I took a walk at midnight in the forest that I felt like I was really connected. And so I want that, but there's this other aspect to myself where I was very successful in the business world for a time period.
Mm-hmm.
And I had natural chops, natural abilities there and developed abilities. But what happened was there was this schism that was created between both. And I found it very difficult to be, it was either be in one camp or the other, but never in both. But as I grow older, I just turned 29. Whatever. As I've grown older, it's like I'm ashamed of the spiritual side when I'm around those in the business world, and I'm afraid of my business side when I'm around those that are quote unquote spiritual, because even in their systems, you can't be both, or at least so I was informed. And so there's always this war inside of me, and there's always this bleed that happens with me. I live in a small community in the Kootenays, and I've learned to squelch so much of who I am because it pushes way too many buttons. But I have, as you all know, well, those of you who've listened to the show for more than a couple of years, I went in almost, I think this is the anniversary. I went in under the knife or the chainsaw 2 years almost to the day. And so I had a second chance. And since then, it's definitely been a process. The emotional stuff, it hasn't been easy, but because I have this second chance, I'm realizing that I have to at least be willing to be all that I can be. And that means being uncomfortable, just like I am right now. And recognizing that I do have a lot to offer, and accepting that. Bail me out here.
Not yet.
Oh,
everyone take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Thank you for your courage.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Can we just play music now?
No, we're going to talk about that.
All right.
Do you ever remember a time when you felt whole and complete and inclusive?
When I was performing, when I was on stage.
So what were you performing? Tell me about that.
Various musical numbers, whatever. But when I was in the zone and when I saw that the audience was getting what I was doing, and it made me throw myself into it even that much more.
Mm-hmm.
And this magic happened, this ping pong effect, whatever. And I fed them, that they fed me.
Resonance.
Yes.
And building.
Yes.
Amping up.
Yeah. And it was the giving of it, right? It's not a, hey, look at me kind of thing. It was just being in this dynamic ebb and flow and, having tears in my own eyes because I saw the tears in theirs. And there was a lot of people. And that's what comes to my mind at this point.
What I hear when you speak that is there was a receptivity and there was a giving.
Yep.
And that moved back and forth. That dynamic wasn't solely Jeff to audience. It became audience to Jeff.
Exactly.
As well.
Yes.
And it was the principle down in the Andes is called Aini, the principle of reciprocity, where that give and take was equally balanced.
Right.
Where there was as much going back and forth for each party or parties involved.
Right.
So when you're in your gift, which evidently you're gifted at performance, accurate?
Yes. He might not
she
say
said
so,
it for
but yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're a gifted performer and musician?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so when you're in that space and you're sharing that gift
mm-hmm.
with others, there is no separation of self. There's no this side and this side and we're in conflict. Never, do those two shall meet, right?
I get totally lost. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
You're in your element.
Yeah.
or present completely now.
Mm-hmm.
So that piece, when you tap into that feeling and that memory as you were sharing now, there was a change that came over you that I could see. I don't know if you could feel it.
Yeah, there was a warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes what I like to refer to them for me as markers. That's a place that, you know, that I can stake my, you know, tent peg on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what that feels like to be all in, to be whole, to be open, to be transparent, to be giving, to be receiving. And so I use those places to build upon. And I also use them not in a comparison way of, you know, this versus that or this versus that, but rather, how do I tweak and adapt where I am now expressing in other areas of my life so that it feels more like that?
Yes.
And then the process obviously is quite apparent when something is like a screaming halt, or I feel shut down, or I feel like I can't communicate the gift that I have to bring to that situation in the moment. And so then the process is an internal looking within. What's going on for me here?
Yeah.
When you speak about New Denver, you didn't say the name, but small Kootenays town in the valley.
Yeah.
Where you're restricting what you are.
Yes.
Because it pushes others' buttons.
Yes.
Have you been told that?
Well, not in those direct words, but when I get responses from individuals, quite often it's, okay, for example, Anna and I were responsible for starting out the bounty share table for the Friday markets. And
do you remember it, Anna? You just made a funny face.
Yes, I know what he's
referring to. Don't worry, I'm not going to mention any names, but it's a perfect case in point. I'm doing this gig. I'm playing off of my fellow exhibitors. I mean, the way this thing works is I'm selling produce that people give to me. I take a small percentage,
mm-hmm.
and I save them the grief of having to rent a table when they only have a few things. I mean, it's one thing if you're a commercial producer and you've got a whole ton mm-hmm. of stuff that you're going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I'm doing this gig, and I'm being my old self. I'm having some fun. I'm cracking a few jokes and, you know, having a good time with other people and getting other people to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that was responsible for the society that we went under gave me grief and accused me of being not wholesome enough.
Hmm.
And so it's these kinds of things, right?
Well,
and I wasn't being vulgar or crass or anything like that. I was just being...
You were kibitzing.
Yes.
Anna, were you there?
No, she
wasn't.
I wasn't
there that day.
And those were the exact words. I'm not...
Were you naked?
He was being... He was trying to draw people in. He wasn't just standing there.
He was being a barker.
He was.
He was like at a carnival, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I've worked so many trade shows
mm-hmm.
in the past where, okay, I'm doing an event where there are literally thousands of people coming into this huge building and there are hundreds of exhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're told that we're not supposed to leave our booth. We're told all these things to mm-hmm. comply.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this one show in Calgary where it was really dismal. Like, the turnout was just horrible. I mean, there were many exhibitors, but there were maybe 400 people in the building as far as attendees right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just dismal. And so what I did is I got out of my booth and I walked over in my area, and I introduced myself to the other exhibitors,
mm-hmm.
and I asked them about their product or whatever it was that they were doing. So I knew their names. I knew what it was that they were selling. And so when someone would walk by an attendee, I mean, I did crazy stuff, whatever, but they would come and talk to me. And I'd say, well, I mean, what I've got here is not for you, but you really need to turn around and look at that person over there at that booth. You really need to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm doing this. And at the end of half of a day, there is a party going on in our corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I got up to go to the bathroom and I walked through the rest of this huge building, you could roll a bowling ball down all of the aisles and not hit a single person. But we had this bash that was going on. And so
you're high-vibing over in the corner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, but here, living here, I have noticed that if I'm any way like that, and especially in that community, it's like there's hell to pay.
I got to tell you, Jeff, I'm looking for guys like you because I don't really like doing that part that you do well.
Yeah.
I like to be
it's
like
called a bullshift artist.
Bullshift artist. I like to be like the second fiddle, you know, once somebody goes out and like does all that big show that I go and then support that and like help build. But I don't like to be the starter. That's not my thing. So when I hear your share, I take a look at the situation. I wasn't there.
Yep.
And what I hear is one individual had a problem with what you were doing.
Well, there's been several examples, and we could go on for the rest.
Okay, but
I don't want to do that, though.
But let's separate out this example.
Yes.
Because it was the example that first came to your mind when I asked you the question.
Yeah.
So in this example of the bounty table, that's what I'll call it, there was one individual that was unhappy with how you exhibited yourself.
Yeah.
And the reference to that specifically was unwholesome.
Yes.
Okay.
There were a bunch of other people, to be fair, in the market who loved having him there and formed relationships with him.
Oh, like how many?
Well,
the majority.
The majority of the others.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tesh?
The majority. It's like, I mean, it's classic. And I feel just the issue we're on is so beautiful. Go ahead.
Because you can relate, right?
I can.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So there was one individual that decided you're happy and outgoing and colorful, flavorful antics were unwholesome.
Yes.
And basically, you won over the rest of the market.
Well, I don't know that, but...
Yeah, everybody... I mean, the next year when you'd had your heart issues and weren't in the park and I was instead, everybody kept asking me about
Jeff.
Because it was so much fun with Jeff there.
So
it takes him no time at all to know everyone in the whole place.
Yeah, and know what they're selling, to sample their wares, to buy them, to recommend them. All of that.
Yeah, you're a connector.
Yeah.
You're a connector. So one individual rained on your parade.
Mm-hmm.
Who did she remind you of?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the natural response would be my mother, but it wasn't.
The church?
Unwholesome seems to be a very churchy
word.
Yeah, very much.
Like, I'm actually really surprised that that was the word being thrown out, right? That you're unwholesome.
Yeah, and the
like, you're not organic.
The irony of the whole thing is this person is not religious at all, but yet that was the choice of words that they used with me.
Do you believe that we live in this world and we have this physical reality and that we also have this other level of reality that is constantly, we're summoning it, we're being pulled by it, and that is for us to get resolved and come back to wholeness and balance?
Yeah.
And that every individual that shows up in our world is showing us some piece of where we're at. In fact, one of my elders, Sequoia, he used to say, the only purpose of the other is to show us where we're at.
Yeah.
And one day he sat down and he did a beautiful tea ceremony. And this is a man in his 70s, Sundance for over 30 years. And he loaded his peace pipe and he invited the devil to come and smoke and drink tea with him.
Right.
And he, with tears in his eyes, said, thank you. I love you because you give me an opportunity to see where I'm at every single day. Now, whether we believe in the concept of the devil or not, immaterial. Because, frankly, we know that there's actually many human others around that will think even more harshly than devil when we're you know referring to them.
Yeah.
Okay. So if every individual is there offering us an opportunity to see where we're at, either as perhaps a direct mirror, you know, where there is something about them that's very hard for us to accept because it's something about ourselves that's very hard for us to embrace.
Yeah.
Or sometimes an indirect. And I think we've talked about this on another show, but an indirect mirror is kind of like the gym rat who sees somebody who's overweight and then, you know, decides that's a fat person and has a lot of charge and anger against them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like that's a direct mirror because, you know, the gym rat's all buff and in shape and works out 5-6 times a week, you know, times a couple hours a day.
Yeah.
But in reality, what's actually going on underneath the mirror part is the reason the gym rat works out to that degree is because they have a need to be in control. Mm-hmm. And so when they see the person that's overweight and they call them fat, what's actually being said is, you're out of control and I feel afraid by you being out of control and I'm afraid of being like you.
Right.
So I'm going to, you know, organize my reality as such.
Right.
So what did that woman, like I'm trying to get how the whole market loves you and this one woman who says this ridiculous thing that you're unwholesome, how that steps on your instep to the point that you're bringing that up today. I want to know what she gave you that you do not accept and pull into your basket of self and own and love.
Because I guess what it would be is whenever I've been in the zone, and what I gave you as an example is just one of many, but whenever I'm in the zone and I'm in my power, As I said before, I push people's buttons, and it's like some individuals just automatically know what my vulnerabilities are, and so they will say something that deflates me. For example, if I was in a sales mode, for example.
You choose deflation in relationship to their words.
Yes, and that's because of my own self-hatred.
Thank you. That was the question I asked.
So why? Why did that particular barb hit home?
Where do you feel you've been unwholesome, Jeff?
Because there were times in my past when I did sell professionally. I was very, very good at it. And in the end, because I hadn't done my homework on the companies that I was representing, where ultimately I hurt the people that I sold to. It wasn't my intention, but I did.
Did you have any foreknowledge? Was there any foreshadowing that the product that you were selling wasn't what it was cracked up to
be? No, whenever that was clear to me, I walked away. I walked away from some very big checks.
So why does that become your responsibility? How come you're Atlas? How come you're God?
It's not that. It's...
Well, but I'm asking you.
Okay, they say that salespeople are created, they're not born. I was born that way. And so my ability to convince others to do stuff has always been really, really great.
Yes, you've got the power of persuasion. Yeah. You're charismatic.
And it
scares, you're a good communicator.
It scares the hell out of me because if I'm not clear, if I haven't done my homework, and you can never do enough homework, I sabotage myself. I put on weight. I do things that will make me almost repulsive to others so that it's not even a temptation for them, that they will judge my appearance for what it is and just say, well, you know,
but,
this...
But really, how's that working out for you? Well, like, that might be your internal concept, but I don't think it's working.
It's not working for me. And, and yes, there were hereditary things involved, but what I went through 2 years ago is a result of my self-hatred.
Of you not holding yourself in your own heart.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to love ourselves is not so easy. And chapter by chapter over life, learning to love myself as I am. And I'm hearing you, and I can relate so much to the story. We're on such a beautiful, perhaps human wound, but maybe male wound, that you know, ever holds, like I see all my life to the degree until still today, the place where I want to make more of myself than I am, or the very opposite, is that less than I am, and I'll bounce back and forth. No, I'm incredible. No, I'm shit. No, I'm incredible. No, you're lousy. No. Well, then I bounce back and forth, and then I go to, well, if I don't want to do that, what do I want to be? I want to be exactly what I am. And then I say, well, what's that?
Yeah.
I'm present. I'm here. And in one way, I see the wound, and I see that possibility to build a whole story about, sure, I'm good at some things, but and perhaps good at, you know, somewhat good at a lot of things. But the story I built up around that, what I made that mean for me,
mm-hmm.
was what I keep moment by moment needing to prop up to keep hoping that that's what I am. And I say, you know, that's more of the what wants to shift.
Mm-hmm. Is the constructed self,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
That's holding up the constructed self.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you had some places in your life where, when you looked in the rearview mirror, you sold some swamp land down in Florida,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't know. You weren't standing in there in the swamp pretending there weren't alligators taking people's money. That's not what you were up to. But that becomes a convenient hindsight view, and we've talked about this,
yeah,
where, you know, guilt is only useful if applied as a flashing neon arrow to how we don't want to be, you know, where we're not in integrity with regard to what we hold to be most high for us, most valuable, most of import.
Yeah.
And so we use that flashing sign to say, I'd rather not be or do that again. So yeah, point taken. And then whatever amends we can make in that moment, you know, whatever we can do to rectify, balance, acknowledge this, you know, the situation with the other. And then the biggest thing, my son Aslan, when he was 5, he said this incredibly powerful thing. He said, you know, Mom, there's no point in people saying they're sorry and apologizing if they just keep on doing the same thing. And so that becomes the third part of the guilt factor, as far as I'm concerned, that has some use, which is then we elect not to do the same thing again. And then we don't do the same thing again. But if we do, we look at the process again and we go through the steps of what that was useful for, rather than using it as a self, you know, inflatulation or self-flagellation tool to then keep us small and ashamed and bad and wrong and never sharing that powerful gift like the one that you described when you're there connected with the audience and just your song and your movement and your openness and your heart is firing up how many bulbs in those chairs. And
no,
when those
filters.
And those bulbs all burst and there's all that electricity flowing through the air and you're the receptacle for all of that coming in.
Yeah.
But that can't happen. Well, you're there with the big meaty stick hammering yourself. It's pointless. Even the mind can recognize that that is absolutely irrational. Yes?
Yeah. And the only reason why I was able to do it in a big audience is, well, for one thing, you don't want to look bad in front of a whole ton of people. And you, more importantly, you don't want to let down those people that have shown up to hear. Well, I'm just saying.
But take a look at it. Take a look at that.
Yeah.
Say that back to yourself again.
In other words, it's not for me. Is that what you're trying to say?
What are you okay with getting a scoop of ice cream? Maybe three, a triple scooper. Is that okay for you to get that?
Well, it would put on weight, wouldn't it?
It's a metaphoric statement.
Oh, okay,
Jeff.
All right.
But nice distract by playing thing with me right there.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
When are you getting your triple scoop in a waffle cone that's got sprinkles on it? When do you get that? When do you deserve that?
That's hard to answer.
Got an idea, Chris? When?
I think you should do it all the time, but...
Yeah.
I realized the other day that somehow Jeff has this feeling that if he wins, other people lose.
Yeah.
And it's been, I don't know, we've been around and around and around this, and I keep saying there's nothing about you winning that takes away anything from anyone else. As a matter of fact, if you win, we all win. Because we benefit from seeing you shine. Why is there this belief that somehow it's not okay to shine?
I mean, I don't want to list off a myriad of experiences. I'm just saying that it's happened to me in so many situations.
What's happened to you?
Where, okay, as an actor, doing a big stage production and having the director stomping on me.
Yeah.
And where I knew it wasn't just me, because my fellow thespians, after the rehearsals, they would just say, don't give this guy any credence, because all he's doing is just being insecure. But it's like, you'd think that someone would want to rise above those kinds of issues. If you've hired me to be your lead, but you don't want to take me out at the knees to affect the performance.
Agreed. Right? That's how that makes sense inside of you, Jeff.
Yeah.
And then when you imbue your own characteristics, your own morality, your own values onto another individual.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the only way that's going to usually go is down the tubes. There will be disappointment because you're projecting you onto them and expecting them to care about the same things that you do. And some people, they need to find their way. I mean, everyone needs to find their way in their own time and space. It's not up to anybody else to figure that out for them.
Right.
And perhaps, you know, that was the teaching and the journey that individual was on. I got to tell you, that's a sucky journey. It's one I'm glad I'm not on. And I would rather not walk in that man's shoes because, yeah exactly. Why do you hire people and then beat them up? I feel the same way at school, and I feel like with the kids in school, I feel the same way with regard to a lot of intimate partnerships. Like, why do you engage in such a way just to hammer the other person or take them out at the knees? It doesn't feel, I don't know, it just doesn't feel good. Like it's just like, why?
Yeah.
You know, but again, we know an outward expression from that individual of where they are internally.
Yeah.
So why do you take it to heart? You're clear on that. Why does that individual who's evidently hasn't turned over that one stone, that you're pretty clear and you're juggling that stone you've got sorted out. So why does it matter what he said?
Force of habit. And I'm not blowing that off. I mean,
is my opinion more important than yours?
In your mind, it is.
Uh-huh. So...
Well,
I'm hearing at least with you and I, we seem to have, you know, a healthy, you know, relating.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, but this guy, you're giving him cred when he's showing you really he's not that capable with regard to his treatment of others. He might be a brilliant director, though. It's possible because there's all kinds of faucets. There's all kinds of pieces of the spectrum. Some people are good at this and not so great over there.
He was probably the second worst that I'd ever had, so no.
So why have you carried that criticism with you ever since?
Like I said, force of habit. Anything that supports my own view of myself is what I'm going to give my power to, and I've had many of them, and I invite them in all the time.
So as Sherry says, how's that working for you?
Well, it sucks. I mean, I'm going through this process. I decided... it was not an easy decision to make when I was in the hospital, but I had to decide if I was going to continue or not. Mm-hmm. And it's been an active choice that I've had to make every day of my life since then.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Your life can be chicken shit or chicken salad, and I'd prefer some chicken salad right now. Metaphorically, that is.
I'll just take the salad, leave the chicken out of it.
There you go.
Because I had much the same issues that you had, but I seem to have gotten through a lot of them, not all of them, but things used to stick, but it seems to have.
What did you do, Chris?
I think it's just the process I've been going through the last while with the constellations, and I found even going when you and I went to Calgary, that even though I was just a participant, it was just like, I shifted a lot in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I realized it wasn't working for me. That's one thing I really realized, that it just wasn't doing what I wanted to do. I just worked on getting rid of it and stop reinforcing it. That's what you want to do, is you want to stop reinforcing. When that idea comes up, you just want to stop it right there and carry on with something different.
But the problem is, for me right now, is I've got some really big ideas. I've got a lot of things that are
I'm like full scale interrupting right now.
Okay.
The problem is I have some really big ideas. No. Guess what? I've got some really big ideas. There's no problem about your ideas, my friend. The language piece is critical.
Yes.
Our words are constantly moving outward. Right. And our brain has been entrained to receive them and send out chemical signals and hold a particular state based on language that we hear from others and that we say to ourselves in our head, right? So, yeah, that's why the full-scale interruption.
Mm-hmm.
I have – please do not link problem with your big ideas. No problemo.
So the situation then is – there are a number of elements that I'm having to address simultaneously if I'm going to step into where I want to be and where I'm beginning to feel that I deserve to be. And it's kind of an all or nothing process. And I'm scared on one hand, and on another side, I'm tired of the BS. I'm tired of taking BS, and I want to step up to the plate.
Is that the BS? I want to be clear, what is the BS?
Of other individuals who have issues with me being who I am.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's all just chitter-chatter over there in the background, my friend, mm-hmm. because you're the center of your own universe. Right? Mm-hmm. And you have your big dreams and plans and things that, you know, you haven't talked about them in front of me on the show, but probably you've shared them over the years here, that are real game changers that have to do with conscious interaction and community and commerce, changing the face of it all. Mm-hmm. Big, big, inspiring scope, conceptualized opportunity to, like, be a way shower. Right?
The only thing I've been willing to do is play clips of other people, but very seldomly of my own. And that's going to change.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Changing
so
as we speak.
Does anyone know that process that when a new idea is launched, at first is attacked, then it's mocked?
First then it's ignored, and then they ridicule you, and then they attack you, and then they join you.
And then they join you.
Mm-hmm. And then 10 years, it's the new normal.
It's the new normal.
It is the norm. It always just was that way. And that guy, Jeff, like, we don't even have to talk about him because, like, I mean, he was there the whole time. He's just a given in that scenario. So all those instances of individuals that you're choosing to hold in your heart, like, frankly, I'd make some room for, like, some of us right here in the room because they're, number one, historical. They're not happening right now.
Yeah, but you're biased.
I'm biased to what?
Well, I mean, you guys somewhat like me, I assume.
You have to watch your language,
more than
man.
That,
your language
more
is...
than that, Jeffrey, we love
yes.
you.
Yes.
More than that, you've become my friend, and I'm inspired by you. More than that, you show me lots of areas of your courage and your willingness to convert just what we're here today doing. And that's a big man. And I hear your stories, and I hear your stories of shame and guilt and all that, and I too have, and part of perhaps our friendship is we recognize the wound, but we also recognize the gift, the talent, the, just the human being that is beautiful. And so I hear in your story, when you have a crowd and 95% of them are all tripped out on the giving and receiving, and then you get news from one person that says something because maybe they know the button or they attack the wound, and
or
all of a sudden
they're just uncomfortable.
Your experience was worth nothing. I'm worth nothing. And down you go, down that rabbit hole. And it is familiar, and it's quite, maybe it's that there's a star being born that has to be a little bit immune to criticism, because as you were saying, you are your own universe. And everything you do say, be, think, relates in a conversation, in a language that we are community around. And the ones that react to me the very worst, it's only through the later years that I'm beginning to acquire perhaps that more of that gift. The ones that talk to me the worst or have something really bad to say about me, instead of running for the hills, I'll go up and I'll say, let me hear more.
Bring it.
Bring it on, because you're a part of me. And which part of the story I can't hear in you, I can't become more of in me, because I'm always running. I'm always trying to defend some aspect of my presumed masculinity or whatever.
The constructed self. Yeah, I've told you the story about the first time somebody could be yelling and screaming about something that had nothing to do with me, and my solar plexus didn't get blown out. What a gift that man was. I didn't get that gift until I was in my 40s. I think about the 40 years that I lived before that, where anybody raising their voice and carrying on in that way, just even being in proximity, I would become terrified and shut down, completely traumatized. Yeah. And that man that day, he showed me, hey, I got this. I got some Teflon going on. This has nothing to do with me. But until he presented, and you know this man and his circus, until he presented himself to me in that way, I couldn't have known that I had got myself all nice and bulletproof, because I'd worked through all of the little bits and pieces that would have allowed purchase of that before. And that's all these, as Tesh was speaking to, all these little bits and pieces, they're like jalapeno peppers, you know, on some ice cream, something sweet again with something really spicy, burn your mouth. You know, where we've got to go to where there's heat, because that heat is something in us. And thank goodness that they've showed up to help us out in that. And that's as much credence as it gets. Where do I believe this? Where do I associate with this? Where do I feel ashamed? Where am I afraid? What is going on for me? That's it. And that's where we can look, like Sequoia, the elder, said, you know, with tears in his eyes, I love you, man. I love you, the devil. You know, thanks for showing me, giving me an opportunity every day. That's all they're good for. They're cannon fodder. We talked about this the other day.
Cannon fodder.
Cannon fodder. When you run out of cannonballs and you load it up with your good silverware and some stones and some feathers and whatever, anything else you can throw in. That's all it is.
It's called the blunderbuss, I think, when you throw a bunch of crap in and shoot it out at people. Because you don't have any real ammo, and that is the reality. And frequently,
there's no real
when
ammo.
When somebody has no ammo and they want to take you down, they'll find that little tidbit. But that's the last time you should ever give them credence. That's what always has frustrated me, is, you know, you will bring up those occasions. And I'm like, what about all of the times when I acknowledged how amazing, and I don't get that kind of cred?
No, you got no cred at all, girl.
No.
How long you been with that man?
17
yeah, but you're
years.
Biased. That's...
See?
17 years. You just write it off. But somehow we're good enough for you to want to be with us. But what we say about you, you just disregard. That's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Teflon one way, but not the other.
Yeah.
Keep that pan upright.
Yeah, I mean, if you...
I realized it, you know, last week, like, again, another level of this, because I was an extremely sensitive child and red hair and freckles and had, you know, a Scottish last name that everyone mocked, right? And it was horrendous. Like, I was
already way too sensitized, but let alone to be bullied constantly, it really shut me down, you know? So this has been prevalent in my life for a long, long time. But finally last week, it was like crystal clear, another layer of the onion revealed where I was like, you know what? Everyone is not for me. I'm not for everyone, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's really good because, yeah, there's enough. There's enough to do. But nor is everyone for me. And it was the first time that I was really standing in that. It was only a week ago. Because it's still polishing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going through the forge. You know, forge burns out the impurities. Your idea, your concept, your magnitude that's going to hold the container for that vision, your big dreams coming through, you're being forged right now.
It's already here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're here.
Yeah.
And when you share what Shift Happens means to you, Community Connect means to you, what you've done in so much labor, love for so many years, to just stand in this place and deliver, that's a whole lot of being that shift. You know, being, you know, taking the slings and arrows, you know, it's not all going to be fun and light, but it's going to be truthful and it's going to be forging new character. You know, to think about that we're on the other side of what this shift, I mean, perhaps every human being on the planet is, you know, a little bit rocky in the fact that either they're hanging on for dear life to what they call themselves, or they can't quite manage in a new world unfolding where the brain is evolving,
mm-hmm.
a new kind of quantum brain where we start to not react as if we were really separate, but we're able to hear each other's gifts and say, don't ever go to that place again where you put yourself down, because you're nothing but a gift. You're born here for this, exactly what you know you are. And the only thing that is not of that is the story that we put in between us.
And please don't talk about my friend that way. The story that you tell about yourself.
That's beautiful.
Like, I got to tell you, I don't want you talking about my friend that way anymore, Jeff.
That is so beautiful. I mean, yeah, right on.
And what Chris said earlier, you have a choice. Anytime all that old dross and flotsam and jetsam is swirling around in your tree, telling you all the reasons why not, at that moment, you create a new habit. Because that's habituated thinking. Those are thought patterns that have been put together. Those neurons firing have wired together. And you need to split them out and make some new space. So when those thoughts come on, you pick a new hobby. You pick a new habit. You go eat an apple. You go breathe for 5 minutes. I don't care if you dance for two minutes naked. You know, maybe you holler. Maybe you sing. But you've got to shift that wiring that just keeps bringing all of that back up, all of the debris, and saying, oh, this is true and real. The mind can only deal with history. That's all the mind can do. It's all historical. Mm-hmm. It can't create any new thought. In fact, it's processing my talking right now. It's on a lag that's even different than the lag, you know, of the headphones. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that piece may be useful. When we're creating new patterns of brain waves, we're entraining them to support that dream so that it can process and help you function and get to shine and be the gift that you are, because you're holding a big vision. Not everyone holds that torch.
Yeah.
Thank God for the torch bearers. That's not an easy job.
And your knees still look good. No one's taking them down. Actually, you're looking great, Jeff.
So you have to really watch your language when you're talking to yourself.
Everything.
Really important.
There's a reason they call it spelling. Mm-hmm. It's a spell. Our words create
everything. Well, I think we've got just a couple minutes left of the show.
The phone's ringing.
No, it's for the office. But you suggested that you wanted to listen to a tune from Tommy. And it's probably the most appropriate at this point. So I wanted to thank you guys.
Thank you for having the courage to sit in the chair.
To show up.
To be in the hot seat again.
Yeah. So you've been listening to Shift Happens on Kootenai Co-op Radio. The show re-airs now on Sundays at 3 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock. in case you guys haven't figured it out already. So David and Judy are in the other room, so they're ready to rush in and take over. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Messiah's pointed to the door. No one had the guts to leave the temple. I'm free. I'm free. And freedom tastes of reality. Waiting